Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And this is our first regular season appearance for the 25-26 season here in the NHL and for the Minnesota Wild. Jesse Pearson, the Bar Down Beauties podcast, joining us now, courtesy of the John Shuster-Cola Banker Hotline. And the Wild are on a back-to-back. They play and drop the puck later tonight at 8:30. But let me start with this. Do you like late games, or are you somebody that likes the earlier games? I know you got the three children, but they're dropping the puck at 8:30 Central Time in Dallas. Do you like later games?
Oh, no. I am a person that I am in bed at 10 o'clock if I can be.
What?
I have no qualms about that. I am. Well, I get up at 5. I hit the gym, right? And I refuse to go anytime later. And I'm okay with going to bed. Like, I'm like, you know what? I'm tired. I used to try to make myself stay up because the kids are in bed and we've got stuff going on. And I'm like, no, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. We call that maturing. Like, I think that's what that's called.
All right. So how do you adapt to the late starts then?
I mean, I figure it out, right? During the season, I just realize that sleep is non-existent. So I think last night I got home from the rink at 11:30 and then my body was still wide awake from just covering the game. I probably went to bed about 12:30. Still got up for the gym at 5:30, so we keep that trend going. But I don't know. I figured out my body is pretty good on 6 hours of sleep, which is not healthy and recommended. If there are children listening to this, we do not recommend that. But for whatever reason, I seem to survive on it okay.
All right, kind of summarize and give me a quick synopsis of what took place last night in the 4-3 victory for the Wild over the LA Kings.
Started out great, right? Three power play goals in the first period, jumped out to an early 3-rip lead. The second period, LA kind of came alive, which you can expect. The LA Kings built very similar to the Minnesota Wild in the defensive first respect. And then in the third period, they allowed LA to claw their way back in, three unanswered, to force overtime, including the tying goal with 45 seconds left in regulation. Lucky for the Minnesota Wild, Jesper Bellstedt, who made his season debut for Minnesota, played really well, especially in that overtime period. Toward the end of overtime, the Wild were actually on a penalty kill, and Jesper stood on his head and got them into a shootout and then managed to make stops on all of the LA Kings shooters. And Marco Rossi, the lone skater to win in a shootout. So the Wild come away with the 2 points. You hate to see them give up a lead like that, so you do have to consider the struggles there. And then also the fact that the Wild in two straight games have not scored 5-on-5. They have only scored on the man advantage, which is great, but you need to start potting some even strength goals too. So those are the two kind of concerning areas. But at the end of the day, you get the 2 points, you move on to a tough opponent tonight in Dallas.
All right. So let's stay with goaltending for a second. I just kind of want your overall thoughts as we start the season, the state of goaltending for the Minnesota Wild, knowing that Flower is no longer part of the organization. He retired from the NHL. What do you make of our goaltending situation now?
Yeah, I mean, you put all your eggs in the basket with Philip Gustafson. They signed him to a 5-year extension, which kicks in next year at a very reasonable $6.8 million per year. And Gus so far has shown that he can replicate what he did last season. Last season, he was absolutely incredible. And coming into this year, I think NHL Network projected him as a top 10 goaltender. And again, if he performs the way he did last season, and so far he has looked solid, there's no reason not. He's the clear-cut number one. Now, that's where it's going to be a little bit different for Minnesota Wild. The past few seasons, Fleury included and not included, they've never had a true number one. They've kind of split the goaltending tandem, which is important just given the length of the NHL season. You're going to need to have two very capable goaltenders. But I think this year you're going to see Filip Gustavsson getting the lion's share of those starts, and rightfully so as that true number one. But you've got Jesper Velsted, who is ready to step in. He is a first-round draft pick for the Minnesota Wild from a number of years ago. He's kind of been the future of goaltending. And so to see him be able to step in and be that backup, but also learn from Gus, is going to be huge.
Talking to Jesse Pearson, the Bar Down Beaties podcast here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's talk a little bit about the power play. It seems like right now the power play for the Minnesota Wild is pretty lethal.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch, right? And you should score on that man advantage. And you look at the way the power play one unit is constructed, you've got your top players there. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't be finding the back of the net easily, and they have. Again, seven straight power play goals in two games. The problem is they're only scoring on the power play. They aren't getting those same looks and opportunities. And I asked John Hines just that last night post game. I said, what do you have to do to generate that same opportunity and produce? And he said, you need to have that shot first mentality on the power play with all those competitive players, with those top role players in that top unit. They're looking to shoot first. They're looking to shoot immediately. And for whatever reason, they're not quite there yet when it is 5-on-5. So I think if they change that mentality and just work on getting down low too, I think that's the biggest difference for them. Even strength, you got to box out, you got to get the puck low, and then the goals will start coming. I mean, it's not without effort. They certainly have been trying to generate. And I mean, you look at the game against Columbus on Saturday, they had 52 shots on net. So, I mean, They're making the effort. They just need to find the back of the net eventually here.
You know, the funny thing about it is, so you start off the season with the 5-0 shutout, and then you lose at home 7-4 to the Blue Jackets. Then last night you jump out to a 3-0 lead. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm getting ready to leave the studio last night, I'm like, oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm about to be on the roller coaster all year long with the Minnesota Wild. It's going to be feast or famine.
Yeah, I mean, and that was kind of my concern watching that initial season opener in St. Louis, because I don't know that that score was necessarily indicative of the Minnesota Wild being this lethal powerhouse. I think it was more indicative of St. Louis kind of making a ton more mistakes and Minnesota capitalizing it. That's not to take away anything. It's great that the Wild put the pedal to the metal, continued to that offensive output, and Filip Gustavsson really kept them in there. But it kind of masked some of the mistakes and errors that you saw come to fruition, some of those warts, if you will, that you saw in Saturday's game and that you saw in Monday night, and you're probably going to see tonight. Now, the good news is it's early. You've got 82 games, and it's a condensed schedule with the Olympic break happening in February. So you're going to see a ton of hockey in these next couple months. The Wild better be in shape and be ready to watch a ton of video and make sure that they're not making those same mistakes. Right now, defensively, is my biggest area of concern. I think they need to step up that area in particular.
And the other thing about it is, I think that, at least for me, and I'm not trying to give them a pass here early on if there was any struggles that are going to come their way, but acknowledging and knowing that they're not 100%, they've got some significant injuries, that is a little bit comforting to me, just because I know that they can get a lot better once they get healthier.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you knew you were going to miss Matt Zuccarello for 7 to 8 weeks. He is skating on his own now. That hasn't changed his timeline. He's still probably about 6 weeks out, but that's, you know, progress. And then finding out Nico Sturm, who you acquired in the offseason to be your top faceoff guy, you're going to notice those absences, I think, sooner than most of us expected. We know what Matt Zuccarello can bring, but the way that the faceoffs have been struggling, you're really missing that strong centerman like Nico Sturm, especially on the penalty kill. The Minnesota Wild cannot win a faceoff on the PK to save their lives, and that's something that they desperately, desperately need help with. It does make me wonder if Bill Guerin starts looking sooner than maybe he wanted to acquire some different players or make some different moves, because, yeah, you need guys like Matt Zuccarello who can be that extra scoring depth that right now the Minnesota Wild are missing, especially on that 5-on-5.
All right, the Minnesota Wild 2-1 with 4 points. The Dallas Stars 2-0 with 4 points. What are expectations for the Dallas Stars this season?
I mean, I think their window's starting to close. I people are going to hate me saying this. I'm kind of a Dallas Stars fan, which my co-host Kirsten said it's very much like cheating on me. They're so fun to watch the past few seasons. That team, I know, I'm sorry. I like good hockey, though. Like, they are fun to watch. No?
It's Dallas! It's Dallas! It's Norm Green, what he did to us. Come on, Jesse.
I don't have to like the premise of the argument. It's just the way the team's composed is good. Like, it's hard tonight. Plus, you got Minnesota boy, Lakeville native Jake Ottinger, their franchise goalie. He's so good. But I do think Dallas is going to falter a little bit. They're not going to be quite the wagon that they've been the past few seasons. I think that window is starting to close for them. They still have a ton of talent. And, again, they're getting Minnesota on a back-to-back. So tonight's game is going to be particularly tough. But overall, I mean, Dallas is still going to be Dallas. They've got superstars. They've got talent on the front end and the back end. They're hard to compete with.
I mean, I got to reevaluate my relationship with Jesse Pierce. Not from doing this segment, but in terms of like when the World Juniors comes up and Henry Lake is hobnobbing and I'm going to all the different places and I'm getting into all the little functions, I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll have Jesse Pierce come and hang with her boy. I don't know, man. I don't know. That's in jeopardy right now. I got
to
be honest.
I mean, I'll just have to start burying that fandom that I have for the Stars better, I think. Similar to my Taco Bell order, which I keep so secret and close to the vest, it's going to be my true fandom for different teams. I don't have a jersey or anything, and I'm not actively out there rooting for them, but I just...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault. And this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I woke up this morning to the devastating news that D'Angelo had passed away. Michael Archer is his real name. Middle name D'Angelo. One of the legends in R&B music had died at the age of 51 after a private battle with cancer, his family announced. You talk about music that's so soulful, as you can hear this track right here, We Can Get By. When they say and use the term one of one, he truly one of one. This soulful, just mellow, smooth, bring it up just a little bit, Chris, sound. This in the 90s was actually late 90s, early 2000s, was a sound that will never be something that people will forget. I was blessed to see D'Angelo back in 2015. At First Avenue. And I was texting with the people from First Avenue earlier today about that concert. And I just, man, it just took my breath away to see the news. And there's so many celebrities and sports figures and people that we admire, their work, their creativity, all that stuff, whatever. And when they pass on, sometimes we're shocked. Sometimes, you know, they're up there in age and it doesn't shock us as much. This is shocking. Number one, he's 51. Secondly, this hits home like when Chadwick Boseman passed away, the legendary actor. And the reason why I say this is because it hits you harder, at least to me, when you have people that battle an illness privately. Because the world doesn't know, it's not on social media, you're not aware at all that somebody's dealing with any courageous battle that they have. And then when you hear the news that they passed away, it's like, it just, that's it. There is no, we get an opportunity to say goodbye. No, it's over. It's D'Angelo dead at the age of 51, Grammy Award winning R&B singer and neo soul icon after a prolonged and courageous battle with cancer. That's just, it hits you. And look, his legacy is going to live on because of the music and everything. But my goodness, man, that was an absolute gut punch this morning. It really was.
At 51, you think that you've got so much still ahead of you, so much that you can do, because if you've been a writer, composer, a producer, you've got so many different things that you can still do. And there are some people out there that really do value privacy. There are people out there that, I don't want anybody to know, but yet they'll vague book the hell out of things. They'll put things out there and you're like, well, I don't want to talk about it. Well, you put it out there so you know you want to talk about it. But then there are some people who are really...
They're truly private.
They are truly private. And just because somebody is famous and well-known with their occupation, there are parts of their life that are very, very private that they want to keep to themselves, especially when it, when it's something that could be serious, because to go back to the propaganda, things are going to get into the hands of wrong people and something is going to be misconstrued somewhere along the line. This way, nobody knows, you keep it in house, and then maybe it's something you can deal with and it gets better.
But I also think that part of this too is the reaction with Chadwick Boseman. Okay, so let me go back to Chadwick for a second. Because prior to Chadwick Boseman passing away, I want to say it was maybe a year or two before, maybe a year and a half before. And this was like, at the time, he was still filming movies and this, that, deal. But you live in a world with paparazzi. And so as he's dealing with his prostate cancer diagnosis and battling cancer, there was paparazzi that got a couple glimpses of him, and he was kind of gaunt and he was very thin. Mm-hmm. And then the speculation is he on drugs or what's going on? And that's the furthest thing from the truth. So then you have people spiraling with conspiracies about, why does this person look this way?
Yep.
Why are they so skinny? Are they having addiction issues? Are they doing? And so I could totally see, and this is something else about D'Angelo.
And it always goes to the negative. It's like way over the top.
D'Angelo was always somebody that was private. At the height of his success, he was not somebody that did a million interviews. He was not somebody that was in the limelight. D'Angelo was always a very private, just kind of musician that didn't want to do a lot. He didn't want to be out in the public eye. Of course he's a superstar. Of course he's a musician. Of course everybody is like freaking out because his very first album was a bona fide classic. And that doesn't always happen. Where the very first time you put music out, the world looks at you and says, oh my God.
Where did you come from?
Yes.
And you're here.
Yes. You have arrived.
Yeah, right away.
You are the big thing. That does not always happen in music. Yes, it happens, but those are outliers.
Yes.
Those are outliers. Typically, and I'll say this as a D'Angelo fan.
Like the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Let me say this which by the way, they've got a classic song together. Him and Lauryn Hill did a classic song together. Let me say this about D'Angelo, and I say this in the most complimentary way, because I love D'Angelo's music. D'Angelo's first album, Brown Sugar, was so historic. It was so great. It was such an outstanding body of work. It was such a classic. he can never replicate it. Like, he started.
And that's hard.
That's hard
that's
to
hard,
do.
That's hard, man. When you come out of the gates that hot, it's like you can only go down from there. Man, I can't imagine the pressure when you come out and your album is, what, platinum or gold or what, you know, and you've got all this success. There's no build. It's like, okay, you're at the top, and then bang, where do you go?
Think about that. Mm. The album is so amazing that the world is eagerly awaiting for all the music that you're going to drop, and you can never replicate that. And it doesn't mean that the other music wasn't good. It was unbelievable.
You hit on something that resonated with people right out of the gate. Man, it is just so, it's so hard to imagine somebody having that kind of success so quickly. And, you know, when you're talking about being private, I think that just shows that he's somebody who loves the art, right? Who just enjoyed making music. And I don't know a whole lot about him. I mean, I know what you've told me and I know what I've read. But when you've just got this God-given ability and all you're doing is going out there and you're just so good at your craft, and then people are like, okay, yeah, what's next? But you're just so, you're kind of in your own world that you don't have to.
When you're creative, it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah. And, you know, it sounds like he didn't want the limelight. He didn't seek it, but he was just so good that it became hard to, you know, to keep that stuff secret and keep that stuff close to the vest. And I applaud him. I applaud him for doing that.
This is the statement that they put out, the family put out. The shining star of our family has dimmed his light for us in this life. After a prolonged and courageous battle with cancer, we are heartbroken to announce that Michael D'Angelo Archer, known to his fans around the world as D'Angelo, has been called home, departing this life today. We are saddened that he can only leave dear memories with his family, but we are eternally grateful for the legacy of extraordinarily moving music he leaves behind. We ask that you respect our privacy during this difficult time, but invite you all to join us in mourning his passing while also celebrating the gift of song that he has left for the world. Man. Which makes this story doubly sad is that the mother of his child was Angie Stone, who died earlier this year in the crash when she was on tour.
Yeah.
She was traveling to go to a basketball tournament, and their van was hit by a semi or something like that. I mean, to think that we lost Angie Stone, another legend, and then D'Angelo, who was her boyfriend many years ago, and they had a child together, like the heartbreak in the music and beyond with that, oh my gosh. You just can't even put it into words, man.
And that child lost, I'm thinking.
A mom and dad within 7 months.
Yeah, that child lost both of their parents.
Legends, too.
Yeah, it's, wow. This world is so, it's so small and so connected. It is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is.
Sad day. And tune in tomorrow, because tomorrow later in the show, we're going to hear from a legend in music himself, Gary Hines. Gary Hines, you guys know the name, musical director, producer, and musician with Sounds of Blackness. We're going to talk to him about the passing of D'Angelo. But coming up next, we'll get to headlines. That's next year on The Good Neighbor. All right, and thanks to the Texas, by the way. A bunch of D'Angelo fans are listening in, wanting to hear some more D'Angelo. We're going to play a little bit more in the final hour. But a reminder, Gary Hines from Sounds of Blackness will join us tomorrow night at 8:05. So be listening.
All right, let's get to headlines here, Lake. Investigators are now saying that alcohol was not a factor in the rollover crash of a fire truck in southwestern Minnesota that left a firefighter riding along dead. The crash occurred on September 26th in Wood Lake while the town's fire department was participating in Lakeview High School's annual homecoming festivities. Rescue crews found 43-year-old Patrick Stephen Reminger trapped beneath the truck when they arrived, and he died at the scene. Minnesota State Patrol initially said it believed the driver was under the influence of alcohol when the fire truck crashed on its way back to Wood Lake. Police in nearby Marshall, after getting court permission, collected sample of the driver Vanicky's blood while he was being treated for his injuries at a hospital in Marshall. Patrol Sergeant Troy Christensen said on Monday that, quote, we received the blood results on Friday and no alcohol was detected. Christensen declined to say whether or not Vanicky was under the influence of a drug at the time of the crash. He did not address whether distracted driving might have played a role. Now, Vanicky was driving the fire truck north on 490th Street, just north of Cottonwood, when it veered into the right shoulder, struck a mailbox, overcorrected it, and rolled several times before landing in a ditch, according to a search warrant affidavit filed in Yellow Medicine District Court. Several 12-ounce can of beer were located close to the fire trucks, according to the affidavit. According to the patrol, no one in the truck had restraint devices on. Part of the festivities included Lakeview's cross-country team delivering the homecoming game ball on a 10-mile run to the high school from Wood Lake. Reminger was a 20-year member of the Volunteer Fire Department and also ran a dairy farm, this according to his obituary.
Well, I'm a little bit concerned about this. And this is the reason why I'm concerned about this, is because the patrol sergeant, Troy Christensen, he's declined to say whether Vanicky was under the influence of a drug at the time of the crash. And he also wouldn't address whether distracted driving was involved. Why would you not address those things?
I wonder if maybe it's still an ongoing investigation and they've ruled out, like, they've ruled out alcohol. But yeah, I don't know.
Why would you say we haven't ruled either one of those out yet?
I mean, maybe that's just his way of saying it without saying it.
I think from a transparency standpoint, I think to the average person that tends to not really look at law enforcement and believe everything that they say, they would find some sort of skepticism here.
Yeah.
Don't you think? And well, I'm not saying that everything's not above board. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is I don't know.
You want more clarity.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. I think it helps everybody.
Well, if you're
especially when we're talking about somebody died in this.
Well, if you're going to talk about a toxicology report and you're like, okay, there's no alcohol, but we don't know if there are drugs. I mean, I would figure that you could test for drugs and alcohol at the same time. But maybe, again, I'm not in law enforcement. I know people in law enforcement. I'm married to one. Hey, the New England governor who told President Donald Trump to his face that she would see him in court now plans to challenge Maine's Republican U.S. Senator at the ballot box. Democratic Governor Janet Mills cited her White House confrontation with the Republican president in February as proof that she should serve in the Senate, a bid she formally announced with a campaign launch video on Tuesday. Mills' comment referred to Maine's legal challenge to Trump's executive order barring transgender athletes from school sports. She publicly resisted pressure from the president during an audience with him and other governors in February. Mills says she's running to help mount a broader resistance to Trump, and she complained that he's cut food and health care aid for children and low-income Americans in the enormous tax breaks and spending bill enacted in July. Said she's also running to oust five-term Republican Senator Susan Collins, who voted for the measure. National Democrats see Maine as an important target. It's the only place in the 2026 Senate election map where Republicans are defending a seat in the state carried last year by Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris.
I think that there are a lot of people that are fired up because of this administration and the issues that they are posing to the democracy of this nation, and people are fed up. That's why we have these No Kings protests and stuff like that, because people are just, they're over. They're like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. We must challenge what's going on.
Well, and the senator made herself a target when she stood up to Donald Trump, because if there's one thing that Donald Trump does not want anybody to do, it's stand up to him. And she blatantly was like, yeah, okay, I'll see you in court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude lives in the courts.
Yeah.
Dude's been living in courts since at least the 80s, probably earlier. I mean, I'm not, you know, I can only speak to the 80s on, but sometimes you got to just put your foot down and say, you know what?
Of course.
I'm going to call your bluff. And you know, we know that Susan Collins is, you know, oh, maybe boy. Maybe everybody's just learned their lessons. Hey, I'm going to go down to the entertainment because I'm not a fan of No Doubt. I know that people love them. Mm. I am not a fan of No Doubt. They would be on one of my most overrated bands list.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I just, and don't get me wrong, like, Gwen Stefani's fun to look at, but just planned a heading to Las Vegas to see No Doubt because the band will be playing a limited engagement at the Sphere in Las Vegas. Pop punk and ska-inspired group, most famous for Just a Girl and Don't Speak, shared the news on their Instagram on Friday. The announcement coincides with the 30th anniversary of the release of their No Doubt sophomoric album, Tragic Kingdom, which catapulted them to stardom. And a press release said their songs, which still dominate radio stations globally, remain as important and culturally influential today as they were when they first hit the airwaves in 1995. Now, No Doubt, live at the Sphere will be a six-night limited engagement running on May 6th, 8th, 9th, 13th, 15th, and 16th of 2026. Event marks the band's first extended run of shows in nearly 14 years following their seven-night stand in Los Angeles in 2012. They previously reunited for two Coachella weekends last year, also performed at Fire Aid in support of relief efforts in the wake of the deadly Los Angeles wildfires in January.
I don't know what the text line just heard. What is ska music?
I think it's like a type of music.
No Doubt. Would you go? You wouldn't go, of course. I would go.
No.
I would go. So I want to go to the Sphere anyway.
I would love to go to the Sphere, but I don't. There's just something about No Doubt. Just never. It never connected with me. And yeah, I mean, ska, it's kind of a like, you know, like an upbeat dance sort of, you know, sort of thing.
That type?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not techno. It's not techno. I mean, this isn't Rockefeller Skank by Moby or whoever it Slim Daddy, Fat Boy Slim.
Whatever.
That's who it is, Fat Boy Slim.
Coming up next, Dawn Staley made a comment that I 100% agree in, but eventually I hope that we are both wrong. It's with regards to sexism in basketball. We'll get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard-Bassett, former Real Housewife of Potomac.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, author of the New York Times bestseller, I Can't Date Jesus. And this is Undomesticated, the podcast where we aren't just saying the quiet parts out loud.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. If you're ready for some bold takes and a little bit of chaos, welcome to Undomesticated. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.